Thank you, worship team. It's great. I think I've got this too high, or it's too loud, or something. It's echoing. Is that better? Okay. The Lord is great. And at church, I want to encourage you. Conrad mentioned how full the prayer room was. I believe what happens in the church is there's a direct line of connection to what happened in the prayer room to what happened in the service. So I want to encourage you to join us. We're ready to move out of there. We'll move down into the chapel or maybe into the atrium. But we're going to pray. We need to be a praying church. Amen. So, because I have now taken all the time that I had, I'm going to have to preach. I'm not going to hana any further. Let's get into the word. We started the year with spiritual warfare. We then went on the streets and people got saved. Have you noticed that the attack has become more intense? Who's experienced a bit more intense attack so far this year? Tough, eh? Are you going to give up just because of the attack? No. Because our God in Christ Jesus, He always leads us in triumph. And you can read in the Psalms, it says, through our God we shall do valiantly. We are victorious. The enemy is a defeated foe. But he wants to try and discourage you and encourage you to back off so that he can carry on and cause the mayhem and the nonsense that he's been doing. But we say no. It's not going to happen. We are not going to allow that. Can I hear an amen? When the enemy realizes that he can't, and if you push through, you'll see the enemy will start to realize that he's not going to win with his attacks, whether it's an ache or pain, a financial issue, an emotional issue. You'll realize as you push through, the enemy is going to, if you have faith, the enemy is going to come up against the wall. God will heal you. God will provide for you. God will undertake in your situation. We've all experienced that in our lives, where God works. So the enemy eventually gives up. And then he comes in from another angle. That's what I want to really speak about. I want to speak about us avoiding Balaam's strategy. And I called it Balaam's strategy for a reason. When the enemies of Israel wanted to come against them, they found that everywhere they went, God was helping them. The Israelite kings knew exactly where their enemies were. So no matter how they tried to come in against them, they couldn't. So they called Balaam in to try and help them. And the idea was to curse them. But God warned Balaam, spoke to him through a donkey. Balaam carried on. And every time Balaam wanted to speak out a curse, what came out? Blessing. I'll say, I'm blessed. Come on, church, you need to say, I'm blessed. The way you said it, went, oh, I think I'm blessed. Huh? We are blessed. So I want to speak to you about the Balaam strategy. And then I was reading in Psalm 107 this week, and strangely enough, and so beautifully put together. You know, sometimes we read these psalms, and they're beautiful and whatever, and we just carry on and read the next one and the next, because they're easy to read. They're easy readers. If you're lazy like me sometimes, and you don't want to go into the heavy stuff, you say, I'll just go and read the psalms. And then we read over it. But in Psalm 107, it speaks about four different situations which are linked to the Balaam strategy. Okay, so the enemy tries to come in, tries to attack us. This thing is still echoing. It's not great. If you need me to pick up a microphone, I will. But in the Balaam strategy, if he can't win with the normal attacks, he's going to come round the back door and try and get you to sin and try and get you into the place where you can't be in the place of God's blessing. That's the Balaam strategy. It's as simple as that. So who was Balaam? He was hired by a Syrian diviner. And he was hired by the kings of Moab and Midian to place a curse on Israel. And I've already told you most of that story. And every time he cursed them, he said, I bless you. Say, I'm blessed. I want you to realize that. I'm going to get to repeat it every now and again. Say it again. I'm blessed. There was an old song. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day of my life I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Why didn't you guys sing with me? I'm the only one that's... I'm just joking. All right. Now, let's read about this. Balaam's strategy was highly effective. And it was a strategy to bring compromise. The fancy word I've got here is a strategy of corruptive seduction. No, that's far too fancy. It was a way to seduce God's people. Numbers 25, verse 1 to 3. You can open your Bibles there. And you can also open up Psalm 107. Numbers 25. verse 1 to 3, it says this. I'm just moving along. I'm not waiting for you because of the fact that we've used a lot of time. Just by the way, Josh, you were so good at reading the signs and wonders this morning. Well done. I did this. I said, and he understood I meant him to carry on into the worship from the praise. So it was my fault. Numbers 25, verse 1. Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. So that was Balaam's strategy. He said, King, allow the ladies of your people to go in and fraternize with the men of the Israelites. Guys, you must be careful. Women are dangerous things. But remember, God told him, you shall not marry the people of the land that you move into. It was a direct command from God. What did Balaam's strategy say? You go and you disobey God. You take God's word and you don't count it as important. You do as you please. You satisfy yourself and you will have such fun while you're doing it. Accepting that what it didn't say, Balaam didn't warn them to say, when you're doing it, there will come a time when God is going to say, enough is enough. Can I hear an amen? And in our lives, church, when we allow Balaam to have his way, God says, enough is enough. Amen. Amen. You say, no, but that was Old Testament. In Revelation 2, verse 16, Christ talking to the church, he says, repent, or else I will come quickly. No, sorry, I've started in the wrong place. Revelation 2, 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those, listen to this, who hold the doctrine of Balaam, the Balaam strategy, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. The strategy of Balaam, the Balaam strategy, is to put a stumbling block in front of God's people. Say with me, stumbling block. We need to be careful that when we're walking in victory and God is giving us a city, that we don't fall over. You saw me fall over the speaker this morning? That was a stumbling speaker, all right? And I was a stumbling pastor. But the enemy will put a stumbling block in front of you to trip you up in your relationship with God. It's as simple as that. And Jesus warned the church of Pergamos against it in the New Testament. So it applies to you and I today. Don't say that was an Old Testament thing. It's a New Testament thing too. Now, if we want to be successful in taking the city, if we want to be successful as the spiritual warriors we learned about in January, we need to understand what the Balaam strategy is, be on the lookout for it, and avoid it at all costs. So now let us go into Psalm 107. There are four dangers we need to avoid. I'm not saying these are the only ones, but these are the ones I picked up in Psalm 107. The first one is, if you read from Psalm 107, verse 1 to 5, wandering away from the things of God and losing our way. From verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. The first of the Balaam strategy is to scatter God's children and bring them into a place where they are in a spiritual wilderness. Can I hear you say the word wilderness? Who's ever gone through a wilderness season where you feel you can't reach God? You feel like your prayers aren't getting answered. You feel like nothing you do spiritually is right. That's a wilderness place. Whoever has felt, and okay, I'm going to touch on certain things. Maybe you're sitting here this morning thinking about it. Maybe you're sitting here because you've thought about it, that it's time to move. I'm not happy where I am spiritually. I think I'm going to just go and try another church out. I'm going to wander away down the road. I've had, and I can say I have had, I haven't been in full-time ministry for that long, But I've had two specific occasions where people have come to Cheryl and I, and in Pastor Pat's time, there was one that went to him as well and came to us and said, God has showed us X, Y, Z, and they brought us the Joyce Meyer daily devotional. Two situations, or a daily devotional. Yes, they use the word. I write a daily devotional too, okay? Don't bring me a daily devotional and say, this daily devotional said I must move from A to B. I'm telling you, bring me God's word and show me where it was confirmed and where it was confirmed again. Then I might listen to you, okay? Because if you go to these daily devotions are great. If that's all you've got, I've spoken about it in the past. You need to be in God's word, not in a daily devotional. You need to spend time in your quiet time in God's word. If you're relying on a daily devotional, and that's, sorry, I get a bit wound up about this, but let me tell you, if you want to live spiritually, you can't live on somebody else's relationship with God. You've got to build your own relationship with God. Because otherwise, you're going to end up wandering and end up in a desert place, church. And that's not what I'm speaking. I'm not just speaking about reading daily devotionals, okay? What I'm saying is the enemy will come and say, you're not really happy there, are you? You're not getting fed there, are you? Let me tell you, church, if you feel you're not growing in the church, it's actually not my fault. We're feeding you. It's because you're not spending time from Monday to Saturday and maybe Sunday morning in the Lord's Word yourself and making sure that you grow. I can't force you to go and have a quiet time. Amen? I can't force you to read God's Word. Three quarters of an hour, because I tend to get long-winded sometimes, is not enough time on a Sunday, once a week, for you to grow. So you can't blame me if you don't grow. Not my fault if you're not going to cell meetings. It's not my fault that you're not involved in the participating in the things of the church. It's your fault. It's your own choice. I mean, maybe it is my fault. Maybe my preaching is that bad or whatever. Okay? I'm just joking. But wondering, the enemy will come and put a thought in your mind. It might not even be about coming to church. You might start wondering about your faith. Is this stuff really true? Is God really real? They prayed for me for a miracle this morning. Will it really happen? Find yourself in a desert place. Because what does wandering do? Breaks down your faith. Breaks down your faith. Can I hear an amen? Does that make sense? So this plan. What happens when we start to wander? It says that in the scripture, verse 1 to 5. We find no safe. This is spiritual. A lot of stuff in the Bible is symbolic. We find no safe spiritual place to stay. When we start wandering, we drift away. Let's just use the example of somebody wandering from one church to another. You drift from the place where God has planted you. Everybody's got a home. That's why there's hundreds and thousands of churches. You will find a place where you can lay down roots, where God says, this is where I want you to grow and flourish. But what people do is when they start to wander, they go to another church. They're not comfortable there. Then they go to another church and they find fault there. Then they go to another church and say, ach, that one were boring. You know why? Because you're not where God wants you to be. You're not in the place where God, can I hear an amen? Some of you have done that. Cheryl, I did it at one stage. We were unhappy. We said, we're going to move to another church. You know what our children said? We started visiting other churches. You know what our children said? No, Dad. No, Mom. We like it where we are. Because that's where God planted this family. Phew, y'all is biased still. You think we're not like you? We're just like you. Okay? We're human beings. We're not on a pedestal. I don't walk around with this thing around my head. My wife will tell you. She deals with me all the time. Doesn't matter where you go, you'll never feel comfortable. If you are wandering, you're in the desert, you're in a dry place. It becomes a wilderness spirit experience. We become dry and thirsty in our spirit. We feel like, I'm not getting forward in my walk with the Lord. Our soul will grow weak and faint in us. It says it here. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. This is if you wander and lose your way. Right? What happens? How do we deal with it? The answer in Psalm 107, verse 69. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them in. When you're wandering around aimlessly, it's like the Garmin switched off. Right? We drove to Midrand yesterday. Let me tell you, if we didn't have Google Maps, we would have been in big trouble. Okay? You need this. Where is my Bible? I thought I'd brought it through. Your Bible is your spiritual map. It's your Google, your spiritual Google. All right? It says, he led them forth by the right way, that they might go into a city for a dwelling place, into God's place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul that was dry and uninhabited and frustrated. And he fills the hungry soul with goodness. If you call out to the Lord this morning and say, I've been wandering, the Lord will stop it immediately because he hears your prayers. And have you ever backslidden, church, or got something wrong? You know what I've found? The minute I confess, the minute I remember, there it is, sorted out. Because that's our gracious God. And if you go and read the theme of Psalm 107, it's not a theme of judgment. It's a theme of salvation. That's how faithful God is. So the first one is wandering and getting into a desert experience. Don't wander. Some people this morning, it's the end of the month, they've wandered into the shopping center. Let me tell you what, they're not feeding their soul. They're in a dry and a desolate place. Okay? Have you perhaps started to wander, church? Say, this is not where I belong. Has your church attendance slacked off? You once used to go to cell and now you don't. You once used to attend prayer meetings, now you don't. You once used to have a quiet time, now you don't. You're wondering. It's time to call out to the Lord and get back on track. Amen? It's Balaam's strategy at work in your life. Secondly, we open the doors to some kind of spiritual bondage in our lives. Psalm 107, verse 10 to 12. You can just stay there because I'm just working straight through it. You know, the Lord was brilliant. He gave me an amazing script, a sermon straight out of his word. You can ask for a discount from my salary this week. Psalm 107, verse 10 to 12. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, listen to this, bound in affliction irons. Because why? They rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Why do I say this is spiritual bondage? Well, first of all, darkness and the shadow of death, that represents the enemy. The enemy is the prince of darkness. The shadow of death, he wants to. The enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy. Secondly, rebellion. Because they rebelled against the words of God, the Israelites rebelled. They took to themselves foreigners as wives and girlfriends and lovers and all that, and they whored themselves and became idolaters. Okay, I'm not mincing my words this morning. I don't think I need to mince my words, not in this church. Then thirdly, it says, they fell down and there was none to help. Who knows that the devil's realm is a realm of war, it's a realm of hatred. The enemy wants to destroy you. It doesn't matter if you're doing work, it doesn't matter if you're a high priest in Satanism, he still wants to destroy you. The demons fight with each other to see who can be the top demon. Did you know that? That's what the enemy realm is like. Let me tell you something else. Romans, I must just get my scriptures right. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:26. 6:23. Ooh, getting it wrong. The wages of sin is death. Being on the enemy's, in the enemy's camp earns you a wage. Who needs a wage? You don't want that wage, okay? The wage is death, spiritual death, hardship. He will push you down. You will go through hell. Every time we take somebody through deliverance, the first thing is, I feel like that weight is gone. That heaviness, that thing that was pushing against me. That's the enemy. The free gift of God is eternal life. The enemy pays a wage. Sin pays a wage. Salvation pays a gift. It gives you a gift. That's the difference between darkness and light. Amen? So, there was no help for them. They fell down. There's no help. Heavy labor. Heavy labor. Here are some examples of how Christians get themselves into bondage. Pornography, hatred, unforgiveness, getting involved in occultic acts, not repenting of and dealing with the history in our family where the family was involved in occult. For the Afrikaans people, mense wat onder die helm gebore is, Freemasonry, Spiritists, if you've been in the Spiritist church, yeah, you need to come through deliverance. I called the people forward this morning, could have been free, you missed it. I'm telling you, and there are people here that need deliverance. Bound in affliction with irons. It goes on to say, and I'll tell you, I'll read it just now. Gates of bronze and bars of iron are symbolic of demonic strongholds. It's when we pray and our prayer hits a ceiling of brass. The devil wants to hold you captive. Watching TV programs that glorify the demonic. All of this stuff about vampires. This stuff about magic. Harry Potter. All that. You may say, ah, it's just entertainment. Okay, open yourself to those doors. You open the door in your life. by the grace of God, you'll come to me later on and the Lord will make you free. Or somebody else and the Lord will make you free. It's not me. But you open yourself to demonic bondage. It is a Balaam strategy. Paul warns about it in Galatians 5:1. I hope I'm going to make it in time. Yeah, I'm trying. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Say free.
Free.
Say I'm free.
And
do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Say bondage.
Bondage.
I'm not bound. Say it. I break off every bondage in the name of Jesus over this people. Lord, let them have the freedom that is theirs in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't. Paul says don't. Say, he says stand fast. Don't be entangled again. Don't be entangled again. In other words, the people were going back. God says you must be free. Say free. Yeah, you need to be free. How do we get free? Psalm 107, verse 13 to 16. Then they cried out to the Lord. You see, it's the same way. It's the same way as the other one. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And he saved them. Say saved.
Amen.
Amen. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness. Say out of darkness. And the shadow of death. He broke their chains in pieces. God wants to make his people free. Come out from that place. God said in his word, be holy for I'm holy. He says, have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. Have nothing to do. Remember the illustration a couple of weeks ago when I took Cheryl's, she's got the same black shoes on again. Oh, well, she got black shoes on again. And I tried to put the white shoe over or whatever color, the red shoe, whatever color it was. You can't put on the garments of grace, of salvation, over the deeds of darkness. You can't. So you need to come out from them. And the way to come out is cry to the Lord in your trouble. Ask him to save you. Let him bring you out of darkness and don't go back. Submit yourself to the truth. It says here, if I go back to the... They cried out to the Lord. It says, because they rebelled. This is what causes bondage. Rebelling against, the word of God warns us against these things, but we think we know better. Who's done that? I can do it in any case. Amen? That's rebellion, church. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Spiritual bondage. All right. Do you understand that you're getting revelation here this morning? God is speaking to you, church. Even the words I'm saying, not all of it's in here. He's giving it. He's freeing his people. So I want to ask you this. Psalm 107 verse 20 says, because they rebelled against God's word, and then 107 verse 70 says, he sent his word and healed them. Submit yourself back under the word of God, and he will heal you. He will deliver you. Have you compromised God's word? Have you messed with the things of darkness? Do you feel like you can't experience the joy of your Christian experience? Does it feel like your prayers are hitting a brass ceiling? Perhaps Balaam's strategy is at work in your life. You need to call on the Lord to save you. The third one is foolishly living in a sinful manner. Have you ever just sinned? Come on, church, we've all done this. And you knew it was wrong, but you sinned any case. Let me see all the righteous people here who's never made that mistake. Put up your hands. Oh, I must take mine down. Okay. We think this. After all, God is gracious, man. And there is grace, and Jesus did die for me. So a little bit of indulgence, I'll come back later on. Amen? We all like that, church. I don't want to put you in my boat, okay? But we do this. If you like me, you do it. I've done it. And by the grace of God, he's being gracious. But it's foolish thinking. It's foolish. Because Proverbs says this about foolish thinking in Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. When I think I can just carry on sinning and there's grace and I can, and it's foolish thinking on my part. And I need to come out of that foolish thinking because it's part of Balaam's snare. I'm sure those Israelites didn't mean to sin against their God, but man, she was so beautiful. Man, those Moabite women were gorgeous. They were good stuff. Hey? Ugh, I'll just have a little bite. Hmm? If you're like me and you start eating a chocolate, I'll just have one bite. I'm going to go and take it out just now and have another couple of bites. Amen? That's the Balaam strategy. Not chocolate, but with sin. That's the Balaam strategy. Psalm 107, verse 17 to 18. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquity suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. God is merciful, church. And I don't believe He makes anybody sick, but He allows us to experience difficulties. He allows us to go into dry places of our own choosing, and He allows us to go through sickness in our bodies because sometimes of our sin. Not all the time, sometimes. It says here, because of their iniquities, they suffered affliction. Sometimes, when there's sickness in your body that doesn't want to clear, it's unexplainable, you need to go back and have a look at your behavior. And maybe you need to spend a time of repentance. I'm talking the truth this morning. Can I hear? Amen. I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes. He allowed them to go into a time of affliction, church. Who wants to go into affliction? Can I see a show of hands? No, you don't. You don't. How do we turn it around? Let me tell you, playing with sin is like playing with fire. Sooner or later, you're going to get burned. When I was 4 years old, we were in, my uncle owned a hotel in Umkomos. I think that hotel's still there. My mom was still alive. And we were on holiday. And I didn't know where matches were. And I took a match and I struck it and I burnt my finger. And let me tell you, I was scared of fire until my teenage years. Amen? Mess with sin, you're going to burn your fingers. How do we turn it around? Psalm 107, verse 90 to 22. Listen to this. It's like repetitive. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Can I hear you say, cry to the Lord? And listen to this. And He delivered them out of their distress. Isn't God faithful? We mess it up, He loves us back. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear a praise offering? We deserve to praise Him. He's gracious. And here's that scripture. He sent out His word and He healed them. Because of their affliction, you need the word of God to heal you, church. He sent out His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. You see, if you carry on sinning, you will be destroyed. You will die spiritually. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men. So I have to ask you this morning in my third challenge, have we possibly been tolerating sin in our lives? Have we been having foolish thoughts, thinking it's okay? Could it be that we're suffering an illness as a consequence of disobedience to God's word? That means Balaam's strategy is at work. And we need to call on the Lord so He can deliver us. Let us ask Him to be merciful this morning, and He will send His word and heal us from our disease. And the final and fourth one is being distracted by making money. It's another one of Balaam's strategies. There are many examples of people in the Bible who prospered. We know our God loves to bless His people. There's nothing wrong with prospering. There's nothing wrong with having money. But when making money starts becoming your focus and you forget the God who gave you the ability to create wealth, you're in big trouble. Psalm 127 verse 2 says this. It's in vain that we rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. It's in vain. So what happens? God blesses people. He pours out His favor upon them. They start a business. The business starts to prosper. They do well. They get busy. Next thing, sorry, Pastor, I can't come to church. I'm too busy. I actually can't come to that prayer meeting because I'm working. I can't be involved on a Saturday when there's an odd church activity or whatever. I can't have my quiet time because I need to prepare for the day's work. I'm telling you, get up earlier. Get up earlier. If you've got to get up at 3 o'clock, get up at 3 o'clock because that's more important than what you're about to do. Your success in what you're going to do in the day lays purely at the foot of the one who gives you the ability to be successful. Are you with me? So let me show you. Who knows that in the Bible, ships on the seas represent trade, represent business. Did you know that? Didn't you? Well, let me show you. Psalm 107, verse 24 to 27. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, who do business, did you hear? Who do business on great waters. Can I hear an amen? They see the works of the Lord, in other words, God blesses them, and His wonders in the deep. Now let me tell you something else. What does the oceans that rage represent in the Bible? It represents the nations. It represents the nations, the turning and the turmoil in the nations. So they go out to the sea, the people of the nations, and they do business. And they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep, for He commands and raises up a stormy wind. Ah, something changed here now. Which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to, can you imagine this little boat, this little wooden boat with a sail, mounts up to the heavens. Then they go down again in the depths, and that's about when Keith has seasickness. All right? His soul melts because of the trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Church, I want to ask you this morning, are there business people, and not just business people, are you in your workplace working so hard that you don't have time for God and you're at your wit's end? Because things are going wrong. Does that sound familiar? Come on, there's bias still in there. Can I hear an amen? God's word is so clear. They're at their wit's end. Why? Because they forgot the God that gave them the work in the first place. They forgot the God that established their business. They got carried away with that Balaam strategy. The business became more important. My employment became more important than the things of God. Church, you've got to make a decision. You've got to say, either I'm going to trust God to prosper me, or I'm going to trust these things to prosper me. I can tell you right now, if you're going to trust these things to prosper you, you're making a big mistake. Can I hear an amen? Yes, God will give you ability to use these things. And you need to work hard, and you need to work diligently, and you need to be honest. We heard about it in the offering this morning. No bribery, no corruption, no, what was the word you used? Fraud. Amen? But there's a time for work. And let me tell you what, there's a time for play, because work without play means you're going to burn yourself out. And more importantly, there's a time for God. There's a time for family. Church, I see it time and again, and I've seen it here, with some of the people that have spoken to me, some of you. You need to reprioritize, because your work is number one, and God is number 10. And your family is number 9. Can I hear an amen? No, say this with me. Aina. Strategy of Satan. Okay. So they see the works, these are the symptoms. They see the works of the Lord, and then their wheels fall off. How can it be sorted out? And I'm going to have to close now. Psalm 107, verse 28 to 30. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. Say, cry out to the Lord. And He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm. Listen to this. He just turns it around, so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So He guides them to their desired haven. God will guide you. Cry out to the Lord, make Him priority number one again, church. Can I say here you say, priority number one. How do they do that? By remembering the Lord. Have you possibly forgotten God in your quest for wealth and riches, in your quest for promotion, church, in your workplace? Is your word suddenly a series of ups and downs that's left you trouble and at your wit's end? And it's time to come back to God this morning, call to Him for help. I'm going to ask JP if you'll just come to the back, get changed, Conrad and Dave, if you quickly come. I'm just going to close this message while they're coming. Do you see the strategy of the enemy? Do you see that every one of those things that I've mentioned will pull you away from the Lord? What did I say? Wandering from the Lord and losing your way. Don't get distracted by watching them. You're going to lose it. You need to pick up what God's saying to you this morning. Wandering from the Lord and losing your way. Secondly, opening the door to spiritual bondage. Messing with the things and rebelling against God's word. Thirdly, foolishly thinking you can get away with living in a sinful manner. Fourthly, being distracted by making money. Let me tell you, church. I know I use money making. I can get distracted by running after the work in the church. And it's so important to me to paint the place and to come here and to go to this meeting and visit you and do this and do that, and I forget to spend time with the Lord. then I'm a useless pastor and you must fire me. Amen. So please understand what I'm saying. You need to have the right priorities, church. Can I hear an amen? If you go and carry on reading in Psalm 107, and please do, go and read it from beginning to end. It talks about how God brings restoration. This psalm is a psalm of restoration. I go back, I close this message with Psalm 107, verse 1 to 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who is redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The message this morning has been about redeeming us as a church from Satan's strategies, from the strategy of Balaam. He wants to redeem us this morning. Are we going to allow him to? That's my question to you. And I know that out of one of those four things, God has spoken to each one of us this morning. I know so because I'm standing here by faith and trusting that God didn't just give me some anything to preach. Amen? Let's stand together. We're not going to leave because we want to just do the water baptism. But I want to ask you, and if I can ask the worship team to quickly come forward, I want to ask you this. Have you been wondering? Close your eyes. Just think. Have you maybe been thinking about, you know, I'm going to church too often. I need to find more time to do X, Y, Z. Or I must cut my quiet time shorter. Or maybe one of the things I've been involved in. Maybe this has happened to you. Maybe you've already done it. And you need to sort it out. Have you maybe got involved with watching occultic TV programs? Being part of some kind of spiritual bondage, thing that causes bondage. Rebelled against God's word. In other words, said, I know what God's word said, but I'm not going to do that. Have you been indulging yourself in sin and thinking, oh, well, I'll sort it out later. Foolish thinking. Have you been distracted by your chase after wealth, after promotion, after recognition, after doing God's things? You've got to run after God first. We've got a good Father. And his mercies never cease. And he wants to help you and redeem you this morning. Just close your eyes and lift up your hands if you need prayer for that. I'm not going to call you forward just for the sake of time. So if you feel that you've done that in your life, you've got it wrong, in one of these four ways, just put up your hand. Put it up high. Yeah, I see those hands. Just put it up high. Keep it up. Now, Father, we come to you this morning. We pray and we want to say thank you for your word, which is so clear to us. It gives us the description of what we get wrong. This gives us the help to get out of it. And your promise is always mercy and grace. And this morning, for those of us that have slipped up and we've just indulged in the wrong way and we've stumbled under the stumbling block, which you call Balaam's stumbling block, the doctrine of Balaam, Lord Jesus. Or Balaam's strategy, as I've called it. I pray, deliver us this morning. We cry out to you this morning. Cry out to him. Lord, help us. Help, shout. Lord, help us. Shout it loud. Lord, help us. Lord, deliver us. Lord, free us. We need your help this morning. And Lord, I pray for every person here that even as simple as that prayer has been, that the victory has come. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Can we give the Lord praise?